7 minutes after 5. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, the 23rd of Dhul-Hijjah, 1443. When will be 1444? Let's welcome our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad. He will, inshallah, inform us. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A this Saturday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Mauna Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Lance. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِّنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 23rd of Dhul-Hijjah, 1443. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, regarding the prophets and the messengers, peace be upon them, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Almighty Allah mentions three prophets' names in today's lesson, chapter 21, verses 85 and 86. Wa Ismaila. Ismail, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam, is the first beloved son of Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. His honorable mother is Hajar, Hajara Hagar. And remember, Ismail means the one who listens to Almighty Allah and practices accordingly. His honorable name is mentioned 12 times in the Noble Quran. And when you look at the biblical name Ishmael, like we have our brother Ishmael, he was a Jew, he embraced Islam, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and he keeps the name Ishmael. So that's fine, we got no problem with that. So Ismail in Arabic and biblical name will be Ishmael. Well, Idris. Idris refers to the teacher. His honorable name is mentioned twice in the Noble Quran. And when you study the equivalent, the biblical name Enoch. Obviously, some other people in the Bible and so forth use other names. But these are the famous names that we have mentioned here. Wa Dhul-Kifl. Dhul-Kifl is the son of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam, whose incident we did yesterday. So Almighty Allah called him Dhul-Kifl. Why? He is the guarantor of time, that everything he did on time, a share for everything, fulfilling the rights of Creator, fulfilling the rights of creation, everything done simultaneously. And Dhul-Kifl's name, Mubarak name and blessed name, is mentioned twice in the Noble Quran. And if you want the biblical equivalent, then they call it Ezekiel. Ezekiel. So anyway, that is just to make you understand. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Kullum min as-sabirin. Each one of them from were those who were very, very patient, and they had much endurance. Now, many a time people restrict the meaning of sabr and patience. In Islam, it has a very, very broad connotation. First meaning of patience will be to continue with the righteous speech, righteous actions, all times, all places, all circumstances. So you say those people are sabirin ala ta'at, that they continuing with the good deeds and good speech and good actions. Second, As-sabr anil ma'asiyah, to abstain and refrain from all types of vices and sins. Now the weekend has started already. That person made a date with his mistress. She made a date with her toy boy and joy boy. And now you cancel it and say, no, I fear my Allah, inni akhafullah. So that is what Islam is commanding us. Stay away from all types of vices and sins. Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, his greatest student. As far as the hadith tradition goes, as far as teaching the ahadith and the prophetic teachings and so forth, 5,374 ahadith and sayings and actions of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam transmitted through the different chains of transmission via Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, hadith in Tirmidhi, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses him, ya Abu Huraira, ittaqil maharim, stay away from all the haram speech, haram places, haram actions, everything that's unlawful, you stay away. Takun a'badan nas, you will be the greatest worshipper of all Maitallah. To do actions is easy. To abstain and refrain, that is difficult. So that is the second meaning of sabr. First, to continue with the good deeds and speech. Second, to abstain and refrain from all type of vices and sins. We see in today's world, people go to haram places. How they get disgraced on TV? How they get disgraced in the media? And all this is because Almighty Allah's curses on such people who trample and trample on the law of Sharia, and then they try and justify it. Allah protect us all. Third one is which our people know, and that is when there is sickness, illness, or death in the family, or there are some huge problems, calamities, then we tell the people to exercise patience. So that is one dimension and aspect of it. Otherwise, it has a very broad connotation. Kullum min as-sabirin. So what is the meaning of this? When a calamity comes, then they do not complain to humanity. If and when they complain to Almighty Allah. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Nabi Jacob, Prophet Jacob, peace be upon him, his beloved son Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, disappears. He doesn't know exactly where he is. He cries, he petitions Almighty Allah, innama ashku bathi wa husni ilallah, ya Allah, I complain to you about my sadness and grief. Allah says, fasaburun jameel, what a beautiful way of exercising patience and endurance. Allah elevates them. When pious people, prophets, messengers, pious people, they experience difficulties, challenges, problems, then that's a trial and a test. Ordinary mortals like me and you, sinners and transgressors, so that is a lesson. Come back to the right path. Before the punishment comes, such a punishment, then you will have no chance to repent because death will overtake you. So each one should understand this. وَأَدَخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا, we admitted them, included them in our special mercy. Innahum minas salihin. Verily, they are from the pious people, the paragon of piety. Did you read the dua today? Read now with me. Chapter 7, verse 151. وَأَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. O beloved Allah, include us in your special mercy. وَأَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Whilst you, ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Let us give you some news, international and national and so forth. You see, the war goes on, Russia and Ukraine. So if you know the real politics and what's happening behind the scenes, the Americans and the Yankees are saying, let us prolong this war. We will supply Ukraine with arms and ammunition. We will get Europe and NATO to do the same. We will get Israel to give some support, although very little. Nevertheless, then Russia will get weaker and weaker. So it is our interest to let this war get prolonged. However, Putin, the new Hitler, he has great designs. He says, I am going to sort out all of you. And if you study yesterday the news, he destroyed the Americans' weapons and so forth. And he tore it to pieces, remember that. And he said, I'm going to increase my empire. So therefore, we are 100% behind Putin. He is a small harami compared to this big haramis. And if you're listening first time to us, then remember, harami means illegitimate child. And the other word is with the B, which I can't use on A now. So with the capital B. So remember, we need this type of Bs to take on the big Bs. And remember that whether it's America, the rogue regime of Israel, or Europe and NATO, they all got a hidden agenda. And let me come to the second point. You see, whether it is Jews, whether it's Christians, whether it's Hindus, whether it's Buddhists, whether it's whoever, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, non-Muslims, they are all together. And when I say all, we mean majority of them. You might get 5-10% who really are looking and seeking for justice, but the rest. So what they did, they said that we all must attack Muslims and Islam and give Islam and Muslims a title, and that is called terrorism. See, yesterday, so yesterday in Mali, there they killed so many people and they said these belong to Al-Qaeda and they are terrorists. Really? Who brought about Al-Qaeda? Go ask Hillary Clinton when she was running for elections in 2016. She said herself, who formed, who established Al-Qaeda? We are the ones who financed Al-Qaeda. We are the ones who brought about Al-Qaeda. So all these groups you see, the Boko Haram or the Shabab or Al-Qaeda, all financed by the Western powers so that they want to degrade and they want to demolish Islam and say Muslims and Islam are terrorists. Let me show you who are the real terrorists. See, Israel, 100% a terrorist regime, occupation for 74 years. So that is terrorism. Occupation is terrorism. And if you don't accept Israel to be an apartheid state, you need to go to a psychiatrist. That is the Jutlas. Allah's curse is on them forever. Then you take the Christians. Who can forget Bush and Blair? You must remember they murdered over 1 million people. And today they're still walking around, roaming around free. Why? Because the Western leaders, because they are white in skin and their complexion is white. So where is the justice? You murdered and killed people. Do you think we forget what happened in Abu Ghraib? Do you think we forget what happened in Bagram? You Muslims half asleep. Abu Ghraib is in Iraq and Bagram is there in Afghanistan. What is happening in Guantanamo Bay? What is happening to our sister Dr. Afia? This is the Christian war against the Muslims. Then 6 people were caught during this week in Myanmar, Burma, and they spoke about it, how they raped the Muslim woman, how they murdered the Muslims. This is the war of the Buddhists, and in Myanmar, in Burma, and in Sri Lanka. See how humiliated they are. They can't even sustain their own country. They don't even have foreign reserves for petrol and diesel. The whole country falling apart because course, you cremated the Muslims. So Allah ki lati be awaze. The stick of Allah does not make a noise. Look at the BJP, the Hindus, and the idol worshippers there in India. What they doing to the Muslims? So they treat them as second, third, fourth class citizens. Openly, the mob comes and say, Jao, Jao, Pakistan. Jao, Jao, Kabristan. Go to Pakistan and go to the graveyard. So that is what you see. But we Muslims will prevail. And when people, you see, in South Africa, the reverend population is increasing. So you must remember that. Yesterday it was exposed, everything. And today you will get more, inshallah. So whenever people remember, want to sit on the fence, then Almighty Allah disgraces them because they are committing a major, major offense. May Almighty Allah bring us to our senses and repent now, immediately. Tomorrow might just be too late because we leave this world today. May Almighty Allah guide one and all to the truth.
Ustaz, Muharram, inshallah, next week, inshallah. Listener wants to know, can we get married? Can we get married in Muharram, Ustaz?
Right. So Friday will be the 29th of Zulhijjah. Oh, Friday night, we will scan the sky. It's 21, 22 hours, depending where you are, Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town. If the crescent is sighted, then Saturday coming. Today is Saturday, a week today. That will usher in the month of Muharram and the new year, 1444. Our new year is not like the non-Muslims, wine, dine, and swine. So I was on 2001. It was so cold, minus 18, minus 20, at the Niagara Falls in Canada, and you just see condoms, and you see bottles, and what, on the 1st of January 2001. So we have reflection, and we prepare to become better Muslims, better ambassadors of Islam. And if the moon is not sighted, then Saturday will be the 30th, and Sunday will be the 1st, the coming Sunday, not tomorrow. So can you get married? 100%, get more and more married. That is the Shia, the Kufar propaganda. You can't get married and have nikah in Muharram. You can't have walima in Muharram. We reject the Kufar Shia and say they and the Yahud, they and the Jews. You took it, take your 2 rand coin, 5 rand coin. One side you put Jutla and Jews, and other side you put Shia. Both are Kufar, both enemies of Islam.
Somebody says, my question to Mufti Saab is, why are GPs in hospitals ripping the people off, overcharging patients with enormous amounts of fees, medical aid, etc., because they want to live a luxury life? Ustad?
Remember that today the whole world is gone into, when I say whole, I mean majority, 80-90%, Muslim, non-Muslim, that they say honey is sweet, but money is sweeter than honey. You see, once you bring about the capitalistic system, so capitalism means that you must charge the maximum, take interest and everything, supply and demand, and the lifeline of it is interest. So that is how capitalism works. You start worshipping money. And then with that, you bring secularism. Secularism means you breed, you advocate, you promote a godless society. How can it happen in South Africa that you can't get justice? The court cases are just piling up. Don't speak of our law enforcement. Don't speak of our politicians. The president has to be subpoenaed. What disgrace there is. So you must remember, all this you will see because the world today works on secularism and capitalism, both are cursed systems. In Islam, you have to bring a conscience in people. They must know that hasibu qabla an tuhasabu, that you must have accountability and reckoning before the day of reckoning, yawm al-hisab. So that is what Islam is teaching. You might get away with impunity in this world, but tomorrow what will happen? Ala ru'usil ashhad, in front of the entire human race, from Nabi Adam Adam alayhi salatu salam, from Adam and Eve, right till the last baby, that person will be humiliated and disgraced. They will beg, they will petition, they will appeal. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ, when the criminals and those who are sane and mature and they died on any ism besides Islam will be hanging their heads in shame, then they will beg and petition Allah, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا, Ya Allah, we saw, Ya Allah, we heard, Ya Allah, we beg you, please send us back to this world, we will do all the good actions. The subjugator's answer will be, Kalla, no, we gave you enough opportunities, we gave you enough chances, but you were too arrogant and you were not prepared to listen. Chapter number 32, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and verse number 12. So that is the lesson we all must learn. Repent now whilst we are alive. Tomorrow might be too late, just like the Pharaoh and his cronies and comrades.
Listen to this one, Ustad. An agent has written an apology to our family for raping us in Makkah. He's asking for maaf. My question to Mufti AK is, how many people did he ask for maaf? My mommy and granny says, Allah maaf. But I want to expose him, and this agent is living it up. He's filthy rich. Anonymous Ustad.
Remember, if you got the document, oh yes, I want to tell you about the national news. Mm-hmm. My brother Zahir Umar, very, very famous attorney in South Africa. Yesterday we received a letter from him. There's one person by the name of Suhail Esak or Isak or whatever he pronounces it, that according to what we got from brother Zahir Umar, the famous attorney, so he's based there in Springs. So nevertheless, he said that this Suhail Isak has swindled and taken money in the millions and millions, and he's missing. I'll send it to you, Maulana. You must send it out as well. I'll send it out also today because I received it late at night. Nevertheless, so this person, it seems like, we don't know exactly, but it seems like he skipped boundaries in South Africa. So whether he's in South Africa, overseas, and you know where he is, and he gets captured, then Zahir Umar said that they will give you a 10,000 rand reward. So once you have evidence, strong evidence, then my advice always is, it's not the first time they are ripping the agents in Hajj or Umrah, the people and so forth. That's how they get away with this. So if you got it and you know it's 100% authentic, you must send it out on the social media. You send it to us, we also will send it out. You must remember that. And my advice, that whatever they owe you, you must tell them, you owe us 50,000, 100,000, you must pay us that amount. Don't come with this maaf story here. Yeah? In Islam, maaf is Allah Ta'ala is telling us what is motoba, at-tawba to mislul hawba. You committed the crime in public, you must make tawba and repent in public. You committed the crime in privacy, then remember you make tawbah in privacy. So justice has to prevail. Very good question you pose. How many others did he rip? Not only this year, but in the previous years and so forth. So my advice to you will be, no, you should take that body from them, and then you are to give it to the poor, to Palestine, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, wherever. That's your prerogative. You are to use it, is up to you. But people who have made zulam and oppressed people for years, remember Imam Abu Hanifa told his student Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, who was the greatest student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, when it comes to matters of Islam, then you have the evidence and these people have trampled upon it, then name them and shame them. And if you want reference, O Maulvis, Ulama, students, then remember Al-Ashba wal-Nazair of Ibn Junjayb. That is my advice, that send it out everywhere and tell him we want the money in our account by today, otherwise the popper can dance. Then we go legal route and then you will see Zahir Umar will be ready to take your case. Tell him I said he must take your case.
Allahu Akbar. I see Sister Lina. She says, I really like you, sir. We are the citizens of South Africa. We work hard for a living. Why can't we have our own say in matters which concerns us? Why are we like robots? Sister Lina, Ustad.
My sister Lina, so I told you what the meaning of your name is. Ma kata'atu millinatin. Did you check it up? So you never did homework, my sister? You must go to chapter 59, Surah Hashr, and verse number 5. Remember the word Lina is mentioned. The supreme quality and type of dates and so forth. You see, my sister, my brother... Now, yes, Sister Lina, that when they speak of democracy, freedom, so what happens? You must add two words to that. D-E-M-O-N. Democracy. So democracy is a shame. You must remember that. Look at the people in Europe, how they're suffering. Look at the people in Africa, how they are suffering. Because only the political elite, they will be the ones who benefit. You in the ground. Let us be honest. That Joe the plumber, Joe the builder, Joe the carpenter, from 94 till now, what did he benefit? If you ask the ordinary man in the street, remember their financial situation and almost everything else, instead of progressing, has retrogressed. You know why, sister? Because the political elite, they know one system, democracy. Democracy means masses are asses. That is the meaning of democracy, that you fool the people. They will come on TV and they go for coaching. They will put a lot of makeup and so forth, and then they will thrill the people with promises, hollow, hollow promises. We will do this for you. We will do that for you. And then the masses are asses. Give them food parcels. Give them t-shirts. And then they already, you know, promoting this party. But who thinks about the harm it is? Look at your fuel price. Look at your rand and dollar gone over 17. Look at everything else, the spiral effect of it. So when we vote for people who are incompetent, good for nothing, their slogan is steal some more. That is the biscuits they like, my sister Lina. Not eat some more, steal some more. Then the joke is not on them. The joke is on the public who votes them into power.
Ustad, listen to Jonah. He says, I'm sorry, AK, you are wrong. Why don't you say the truth and honesty why Sister Afia was sent to prison? You think the judges were crazy to prison her? I have facts that you don't know of, AK. So please, sir, Jonah, Ustad.
Jonah, you support terrorists. Israel is a terrorist regime. It's an apartheid regime. It's a Nazi regime. So you should be the last person. That Dr. Afia came out first in America, and the American white men and women could not stick it. How can a Pakistani lady beat us in our own field? And then they got the Jewish judge, and then he sentenced her for 86 years, and we know all these things here. Remember that a miscarriage of justice. Go and read what Yvonne Ridley had to write about Dr. Afia. She was a non-Muslim. She embraced Islam. People like you, Jonah, and we don't apologize to anybody. When we speak the truth, we will give it a heart. You know why? Because the Quran says, "Bal naqdhifu bil haqqi alal batil fayadmaghuhu fa'idha huwa zahiq." You must crush the brains of the enemies because they have batil and falsehood, and we have the haq and the truth. You, Jonah, you are still a novice in this field. You have blinkers in your eyes. You have jaundice in your eyes. Go and sort out your apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel and then come and talk nonsense here. So remember about Dr. Afia. Dr. Afia, the whole world knows. You must remember the Pakistani regime, Pervez Musharraf, dispatched straight to hellfire. He sold her out to the Americans so they could get millions of dollars. That is the story. You don't understand anything. You waste your time.
I see Ismail from San Diego. He says, dear Mufti Saab, I think this guy doesn't know his facts. This Jonah, Ustad, Ismail.
You see, Jonah, that is Ismail from Santiago, and he embraced Islam. But you won't embrace. You know why? Because you're wearing blinkers. You know when the horses, they run, they wear blinkers. They got jaundice eye. I show you a red apple, you tell me it's yellow in color. Now, is my fault or your fault?
Somebody says, Ustad, a sister says, my friend is a non-Muslim. she requires a kidney. My kidney is a perfect match for he, for her, Ustad. Can I donate my kidney to her, Ustad?
Remember, in Islam, this is an academic discussion. Some ulama say permissible, some say not permissible. How we reconcile it is this way here. Our fatwa and verdict will be that if a person requires an organ and you have a donor, it's a perfect match. There is no selling. You're not trading and selling your kidney. And that is as a matter of life and death and so forth. Meaning there's no real other option. So the fatwa verdict will be, it's not for aesthetic reasons. It's not for trade and buying and selling. You want to help that person out and is a last resort. So give your kidney. But you see, you can't donate something that where you will die and so forth in the process. So there are conditions attached. So that will be the fatwa and the verdict. As far as the precaution goes, the taqwa and piety, then you don't donate it and so forth. But our verdict on that issue will be, yes, it is permissible with the conditions I mentioned. No trade, no business. It must not be for aesthetic reasons. There must be no other option. So then at the fatwa we pass and issue we issue is that it is permissible.
Two more questions to start. I've got a new listener here by the name of Vernon. He says, sir, I read an article that says that fuel is no longer regulated by government since yesterday. Now we can choose which filling stations we want to go with the cheapest price. So, sir, do you believe that this system will benefit or harm the society? We start, Vernon.
You see, Vernon, you're a new listener, I think. I don't know what's your age, but I think you'll be about 25, 30 years old. You must always turn the pages of history and then you will understand things. There was a person, he was a Jutla, Raymond Ackerman. He died and so forth, to the best of my knowledge. So if he's alive, then apologies, but I think he passed away. So anyway, so he in the 70s, 80s, he used to have big battles with the apartheid government. Let us pick and pay, sell fuel at a reduced price and so forth. But P.W. Botha, the Klerk, the Nationalist Party said, no, we will never allow it and so forth. So this is not the battle from today. This is already from the 70s, if you know South Africa. Therefore, Vernon, I told you your age, what I think, that you always must go into 29. You see? My guess was good, right? I told you 25 to 30. What you say, Vernon? We got some jinnats here. You must remember that. You know what is jinnats? Anyway, the this is another talk. This is just joking with you. Don't worry, brother. So the point I'm making, Vernon, do you know Raymond Ackerman? Google him. Google Pick and Pay. Google Petrol. And he used to have raging battles with the apartheid regime. I'm asking you a fair question. From 94, you got democracy. Didn't they know that Eskom one day is going to pack up? Didn't they know that the fuel price is going to increase? Didn't they know that South African Airways one day will pack up? Every state-owned enterprise is finished, is bankrupt finished. They can try with the trains, they can try with the planes, they can try with the fuel, everything a disaster. If you really want to help the South African population, so why you only keep it to the 93 octane? Why you don't open it up for the 95? Why you don't open it up across the board and so forth? Because they still know that majority cars, vehicle, trucks and that will be using 95 and so forth. So yes, they pulled the wool over our eyes, but masses are asses, and now they think that, oh, the government is doing us a big favor. If you speak of freedom in the business world and you really want to empower Joe in the man in the street, then you should open it up for everything, not only for 93 octane. So you need to read between the lines, my brother Vernon, and don't get too excited. They just make us valegila. You know what is valegila? They just make us fools and idiots.
Ustad, one more, Ustad. Since when do Muslims have a memorial service for a deceased ustad.
Totally haram, and therefore they get disgrace and get called reverend and so forth. وَلَا تُسْوَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ. All this is totally haram in Islam, but when people's allegiance is to their political party more than Islam, that is what happens. Humiliation and disgrace. Surah 9, verse 84. Allah Jalla wa Ala guide us all to the truth, and may Almighty Allah protect us from the fence-sitters. People who sit on the fence are committing a major offense. Barakallahu feek. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.